Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
And good morning, everybody. 6 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to be with you on Political Coffee. Yes, that's the name of this show. You know, I got at the end of yesterday's show, I got some great emails that I just couldn't get to, so I want to get to them today. And talk about other things that are happening out there. At the bottom of this hour, Josh Michael joins us. You know, he does the Non-Compliant America show here on KSLM on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Now, Josh was down at the ORP convention in North Bend. And he's going to share with us from his perspective, what happened down there. Now, let me just say right up front, I try really hard not to get into party politics, even though I endorse Don Powers, because Don is a personal friend of mine. He's been a regular, but as you know, over time, to come and be a part of the Political Coffee Clatch. I endorsed him, but I don't talk about, and I don't want to get involved inside Oregon Republican Party politics for a couple of reasons. Number one, this radio show and this station, I want to be the premier show and this station when it comes to not just party politics. I want to go beyond that. I want to engage people of all political persuasions. You know, we have Democrats who listen to this show. Eileen sent me an email yesterday. She's a Democrat. She listens to the show. She often disagrees with me, and that's fine. She has encouraged me, and I am going to do this. I am going to show this Oregon Story movie at a Political Coffee Clatch, you know, maybe the next one in a week and a half. This is generally a direction, because I'm a strong believer in our constitutional rights, our constitutional republic, in believing that there is a way to keep from, you know, building shopping malls in the middle of farmland. Because as you guys know, I'm fighting this. And thank you, Ronnie, for the KEZI story that you sent me. This is Channel 9 down in Eugene, about the opposition to this 1,500-acre solar farm, which has never been done anywhere in America. A 1,500-acre solar farm on prime farmland. Okay? Anyway, Eileen sent that to me, suggested, it's a great suggestion, and I'm going to do it. My point to you is I'm MAGA conservative, America first. And that goes beyond the Republican Party, folks. You see, the Republican Party is not any better or different oftentimes with their actions than what the Democrat Party is. Now, I'm not talking about the party so much as I'm talking about those in the party that get elected to office. Because here's the reality. When you get into office, and I don't care if you're running for school board, I don't care if you're running for city council, county commission, and we're broadcasting this Saturday from 10 to noon at a Hispanic event that is slanted towards Republicans. And we got a couple of county commissioners there. You swear an oath when you get elected in America, generally speaking, to serve everyone. So we need to take that to heart. And that's why I want my radio show and my audience to understand that even though I am profoundly America first, even though I am profoundly conservative, I accept other people's points of view. It's their right to express them. That's the right that was granted to us by the blood, as Thomas Jefferson said, of patriots and tyrants, which from time to time, as he wrote, refreshes the tree of liberty. Liberty is that thing that binds us together as human beings, not just Republican Party people. Now, the reason I remain a Republican is pretty simple. It is the only political party, the exception maybe of the Constitution Party, and Roger, I know you listen, so it's the only political party, it's the only major party that has an opportunity because of its size and its organizational opportunities to stand for what I believe in. And that's inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which are given to us by God, not man, and not a government. That's the foundation on which I stand with my life. It is the perfect law of liberty, as the Apostle Paul wrote. As a man of God, and I try very hard to live that every day in my life, I don't get there, but it is my heart's desire to serve God Almighty, because in that I have liberty in every sense of the word, friends. And only the only party that resembles that is the Republican Party. It's not the Democrat Party. Look at what they're trying to do to us every day. It's not the Pacific Green Party. It's not the Libertarians. Although, frankly, I think Libertarians have it right on a number of things. They have it really wrong on a bunch of other things. But the party that comes closest to what I believe is right for my personal liberty, for yours, for the future of this great nation, this constitutional republic, that party is the Republican Party. I do not agree with many things that party officials do. I generally am fully aligned with the Republican Party platform. In other words, these series of things, statements as to what the Republican Party believes. That has changed to some extent over time. But what our elected leaders do as Republicans is often different than what the party stands for. And because I need to be, as a radio talk show host, a conduit for that discussion, why do Republican elected officials often not adhere to the Republican Party platform? Well, it's because we don't all agree on everything. Remember what Ronald Reagan said. And folks, I'm setting all of this up for a reason. Okay. Reagan said, and I agree with him, when you can agree, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, when you can agree with someone about 70% of the time politically, you probably ought to support him. And I generally say that's correct. This is why, even though I strongly disagree with some of the votes in providing quorum of my friend Kevin Mannix, whom I served with when I came into the legislature in the House of Representatives in 1999, and have remained a good friendship, even though I strongly disagreed with his vote on the militia bill. I strongly disagreed with him providing quorum so House Bill 2002 could get passed. He's still my friend, and he's still a strong, generally conservative voice for conservative thought in the legislature, in the Republican Party. I don't want to alienate him because I want him to be able to articulate his viewpoint on things. I think that's fair. Doesn't mean that I agree with him. I don't agree with some of the votes he's taken on guns. Oregon Firearms Federation think he's the devil when it comes to guns. I share all of that with you because this is why I do not want to get involved in the minutia of Oregon Republican Party politics or even RNC politics. So that's why I don't talk about it a lot. We're at a crossroads in Oregon. And this is one of the reasons that I wanted to bring Josh on to talk about. See, Josh is, even though he's very MAGA like me, he does a different show, and that's fine. He has one point of view. I respect it. And I agree with many of the things that are going on based on what's happening out there in our world, especially the deep state. A lot of this go along, get along attitude. And this is why I said Republican Party people who get elected don't always go along with what is not just the party platform, folks. What's in our Constitution that is innate to human nature, our inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have that right. And I want this show and I want my involvement in politics to reflect that, which is the constant from the beginning of mankind. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are given to us, innately created in us by God Almighty. And government cannot, must not be allowed to take it from us. And Republican politicians who get elected saying one thing and then go do another, I have no use for them. Yet at the same time, I need to be able to provide a forum for them to talk. So that's why I allow diverse ideas to be presented on this show, even though I may not agree with it all. I hope that makes sense to you as to why, and some of you constantly urge me to get into party politics. I don't have any desire for that. It's important in the party platform and the principles and the values that the party should be expressing are important. Yes. We'll talk with Josh Michael about his viewpoint about all of this at the bottom of the hour. Plus your phone calls in a moment. I got some great emails. 620 back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is the Tower of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Jeff at KSLM. News. And we'll get into those emails because there are really some very good emails from yesterday that I wanted to get to. By the way, folks, have you seen the deals on MyPillow on the website. You should go to them. Like, I was talking with my mother last night about MyPillow. I mean, she's trying to advise me on, you know, stuff I need to do for my new home, which I'm mostly moved into. Well, MyPillow's got deals. I mean, real deals, if you have the right promo code. And the right promo code is PC23. That's mine, of course. That's Political Coffee's promo code. It's for this radio station and this show. I don't get anything personally out of this other than I get the satisfaction of helping Mike Lindell stand up for voter integrity, as he's done all across the country. The $25 for the 6-piece towel sets is an unbelievable deal. You should go see, folks, if you have not tried them, you need to. How about the Giza Premium MyPillow? I just have two new of those. I haven't used them yet, but I'm going to. I've been using a MyPillow for 13 years. That's all. This is the Giza. $25 for king size or queen size. $25 for the towel set. You will never use better towels than Mike Lindell's towels. Believe me. And I can go on and on and on. These are deals you can get. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code PC23. PC23. Ed writes this. Oregon restricting water rights. He says, go to Yanasa TV. This is an email from yesterday on YouTube, and look at a post made yesterday exposing Oregon's enforcement of some 1909 law protecting water quality for the public and are now restricting the use of private wells. And in some cases, putting a water meter on a private well and requiring a $300 permit to water your garden if you're selling produce to your neighbors. Perhaps you're already aware of this invasive enforcement by the state of Oregon. No, I'm not, Ed. I did not know that. I did not know that private wells now have to have water meters on them. And if you use that water to water your garden, you got to get a permit if you're selling your produce to your neighbors. What an absurdity. This is why who gets elected matters. Son of the Almighty said, one can only hope the sleaze bag Wyden, a permanent fixture here in Oregon's socialist monopoly, would be kicked down the road. Well, this is Ron Wyden's wife. This is this story. Ron Wyden's wife is the rich New York heiress of a bookstore chain, Nancy Bass. He's been asked to resign as Senate finance chairman after his wife is found investing in companies that Ron Wyden, you know, has oversight over. This is a Western Journal story. Is that any different than Nancy Pelosi or anybody else? The scam of Washington, D.C.'s, you can go back there poor and come out of there rich as can be, not just because of a lavish retirement program. No, there's a way you can deal in insider trading, in trading stocks and bonds by having inside knowledge. You're allowed to do it and profit from it. You just have to declare it 30 days after you've made the transaction. And you can talk to your spouse or your significant other all day long about it. Or your brother-in-law. Or anybody else. And it's okay. Because Congress exempts itself from the same laws often that they force down our throats. I bet you could probably talk to someone who's persuadable in your world about that. I bet you could. Let's go to the phones. Go to Art. Art, good morning, brother. Thanks for hanging on.
Good morning, Jeff. Amen to you, brother. We have to get engaged. And, you know, I'm 68 years old, Jeff, and I've been around a long time, okay? And we, and I mean the Republicans and the Democrats and all of us, have to work together at doing things right and constitutionally. And, you know, it says that we have equal rights. Well, as you know, I'm totally blind, and there have been issues over the year that I have, you know, lobbied and got legislation passed.
Yep.
Locally and nationally to make life better for blind people, but also to make life better for the general public. And the reason why I left the Democratic Party was that they supported closing the Oregon School for the Blind for money. And then they never, ever, ever created another school for the blind so blind kids could actually get a free, equal education like everybody deserves under the law. And so we most definitely need to work together on good laws and stuff and make Oregon a better place for all people to live in. All people to live in. I mean, right now, take, for example, gas and the economy in Oregon. It sucks. Why does it suck? Because there's too much government getting involved, making bad laws, like the gas tax law you talked about the other day, that hurt all of us. And
call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes before the top of the hour, in just a moment, we'll chat with Josh Michael, host of Noncompliant America, heard here on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Got another great email from Michael. Why not? It's free money, he says. Usually I joke about things I cannot change. Yesterday, the state government, oh, no, I already read that one. That was the one for you. That was a good one. Yeah. Throwing away other people's money. Yeah. We talked about that yesterday. Folks, you want to talk about a yo-yo in politics? So a federal appeals court just unwound overnight a U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
What?
Yeah, so a federal, you know, Texas has this new law that allows them to deport, arrest and deport illegal aliens. A federal judge said, no, you can't do that. Then the federal judge got overruled by a court of appeals. And then the court of appeals reversed itself, if I remember right, and said, no, you can't do it after all. Then the U.S. Supreme Court said yesterday, the day after, yeah, you can do it. States have rights to defend their own borders. Well, last night, another federal appeals court basically gives the middle finger to the Supreme Court and said, nope, you can't do it. So let me ask you something. What happens when a government entity, doesn't matter what it is, could be Marion County, could be state of Oregon, what happens if a court, a group of judges, simply says the Supreme Court ruling is wrong? What happens if a president says a Supreme Court ruling is just wrong and I'm not going to abide by it? What happens then? What happens if the U.S. Supreme Court says, no, the federal government does not have a right to force you to take an experimental vaccine? Nor does a governor like Oregon's Kate Brown. What happens when the Supreme Court says that and the governor says, I don't care what you say. If you want to work for the state of Oregon, it doesn't matter. You're going to do what I say. what happens then? Let's ask Josh Michael, who joins us right now. Josh, I know that we didn't plan on talking about this, but you're a guy who gets this. What do you think? What happens when a government defies court rulings?
Well, it really comes down to a simple equation of who and what supports the movement that's being repealed by the federal government. We're getting into a very interesting point in our country, and I'm not saying that, you know, we're going into a civil war, but we're going into a position to where those types of questions are being asked much more often, because we're seeing, you know, judicial exploitation, whether it's the federal government or the state's government, or even down to the county government. And there's kind of this rogue element where there used to be a simpatico type relationship between the federal and the state, but now they're having a lot of different, more discrepancies. And it's really coming out. I think it's going to boil over even further. And I think it's going to get to a point where the states are just going to say, you know, do whatever you want, but we're moving forward. And with a state like Texas, you know, they have, I know that they're having those conflicts as well, but it's just getting to a point where they're going to be like, they're just going to give them the middle finger, you know. But as far as process goes, I don't know the logistics of, you know, where and how and what courts those then go to. It really just comes down to the people. And that's why I think the education of the public is so important, because if the people stand with the state or the individual, then the government's essentially useless. And we're seeing that in the Donald Trump election. They're throwing everything that they can at him, making up every lie, running with headlines for weeks on end when there's much more important things going on in the world, smearing him, stealing his equipment, stealing his property, trying to seize his property, giving him unreasonable things. We're seeing that in real time. But the fact is that he is in locked with the people and has a huge amount of support. And that's why he's staying in the limelight, because that is the kryptonite to these tyrannical systems.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're so right about that, because this tyranny knows no political party. I mean, you know, I asked you to come on today to talk about your experience and your perspective being down on the South Coast this weekend and so forth. And we'll get into that in a moment. But tyranny knows no political party. It doesn't care.
100%.
Okay, and this is why. Yes, it is. We have people on our side that are willing to embrace tyranny. And I'm sorry, I don't stand with them at all. Anyway, so what, in your view, from your experience, you were down on the South Coast, you were there with Kyle Rittenhouse and others. What happened down at the Oregon Republican Party? We have two new national committee people, Tracy Honnell and Dan Mason. What happened? How come Don Powers wasn't elected? Why did Solomon Yu drop out? Give us your perspective on all of this.
Sure. So leading up into the actual vote, we got there. I got there 2 days early. Most people showed up on Friday. There was a lot of energy, right? There was a meet and greet. A lot of people showed up. You know, obviously, like you said, we had Kyle Rittenhouse there. We had Cade. Lamb, Sheriff Lamb's son, was there. A lot of really good people. Don Powers was obviously there, everything else. It was really interesting, because kind of leading up to that, the night before the vote, we were all in the room. We were in the meet and greet. I was talking to a lot of different people. Everybody was kind of walking around. A lot of people had the Don Powers stickers on, everything else. And then, you know, we all felt pretty good about the room, about the vote. Solomon and his people were in a corner. They weren't really engaging too much. Everybody got to give a little speech. You know, Dan Mason was there. I talked to Dan a couple times that night and the next day. And we all felt pretty good. Like, hey, you know what? This is good. We can feel, we could feel the change happening. We knew what we were always kind of speculating. What is the Solomon group going to do? Because they always cheat. They always steal at the last moment. They always pull at the jaws of defeat and do all this stuff and pull some weird shenanigan technicality. So we're like, I don't see how this is going to happen. What are they going to do? That was the question on Friday night before we went to bed. What are they going to do? Well, the next day they went and had the vote. And with the women's national committee woman, not a lot of people are talking about this, but they cast 126 ballots, but only 125 came back. Now, there's no law, there's no, you know, requirement that the person has to turn in their ballot, but they can only count the ballots that were turned in, which then in return changed the number of votes needed to get that 50% to get Tracy Honnell in.
By one ballot, you're saying?
By one ballot. And so here's what's interesting too. Here's what's interesting, Jeff. And this is you're premising this whole show. You're right on the money, because it's not necessarily always about party politics. A lot of Republicans, bless their heart, they mean well, but they're always like, oh, we're going to get the Democrats. We're not just fighting the Democrats. We're fighting ourselves. There's a lot of different complexities, but the overall moral compass of the Republican Party is where I align. But I'm not going to just go along to get along and play party politics. So, but here's what's interesting. Prior to that happening, prior to somebody not turning in their vote, there was a question asked in the meeting, hey, what if we don't turn in our vote? What does that do? Right? And then they answered, it lessens the percentage. And so she was short by a sliver. They would have had to do a revote had that other ballot been turned in. Since it wasn't turned in, they didn't do a revote. She won the 50% plus one, which is a stupid rule, by the way, and we'll go into it for the national committee men. But it's an interesting question. There were people proposing it, wanting to discuss it, objecting to it, and through all the, you know, technicality terms, everything else, they just decided to move on, get Tracy Honnell, let's move on. So that's interesting, right? And it's like, how is that okay? We stand on the rights and the morals and values of this party, yet we're able to just let that slide. And so they
Josh, hang on to that. We're going to go to break. We'll come back with Josh Michael talking further about what happened down on the South Coast this weekend. I didn't know that part about it, Josh. Thanks for doing that. Back in a moment at 6:48.
Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In just a moment, we'll be back with Josh Michael. I got a text from Anna. Anna Munson, running for county clerk. She said, I was speaking last night, and I learned that businesses in the Willamette Valley are paying a TriMet business tax. This confirms that light rail is the intent all the way down to Eugene. We are prepaying beforehand. Why would Linn County farmers pay a tax to TriMet, the public transportation agency in Portland? Now, that's a good question. If I remember right, I think businesses in the entire state are paying for Portland's public transportation system. What's wrong with this picture? By the way, thanks to John McDonald, who corrected my quote about Ronald Reagan. Reagan's actual quote was, "The person who agrees with you 80% of the time is a friend and an ally, not a 20% traitor." Yeah, that's a good thing to be remembered of. Also, another good thing is for you to call Freedom Heating and Air if your system is not working right. You need an upgrade. Hot days are coming. Cold nights are not quite over with. And you know it because you're not comfortable at home. Call them. You know what they'll do? They'll come out to your place right away. Freedom Heating and Air. Check out their website, Freedom Heating and Air, all one word, freedomheatingandair.net. Give them a call, 503-580-1456. You know what they'll do? They'll come out, look at your system, and they'll figure out what needs to be done to make it work better for you. That makes your life better. They have great discounts for veterans, for seniors, half-price labor for Gold Star families, even apartment managers. Freedom Heating and Air, 503-580-1456. All right, Josh, so you shared with us the what happened there that was that 50-plus-1 issue that got Tracy Honnell elected to be the national committee woman. What happened on the national committee man side? What happened there?
So here's what's interesting, right, is, you know, the Republican Party comes out, talks about ranked choice voting and how we're against it. And I know we had those guests at Coffee Clatch a few months ago that really broke down what ranked choice voting is. Now, here's what's interesting. I don't know if you know, Jeff, what's the purpose of the 50% plus one rule, but it seems a little bit ridiculous to me, and I'll explain to you why, especially with the outcome of why we do that. So basically what happened is they had the first round of votes, and I have the tally right here. First round of votes, Don Powers got 51. I think Solomon got 30. Dan Mason got 18. Let me double check here. Anyways, it was something like that. Yeah, Don got 51, Dan got 28, Solomon Yu got 31, and then Jerry got 16. Okay, so they need to have a 50% plus one, right? That's the rule. Don't know why it's the rule. Doesn't make any sense. One person, one vote, you majority wins. You know, maybe if it's in within a margin, but clearly there was no margin there. 20 extra votes over everybody, Don should have been the winner, right? Well, and what happens is Jerry drops out right before they go to do the second vote, adding Jerry's votes back into the pool. Solomon gets up and speaks, and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm going to go ahead and retire, and I'm going to endorse Dan Mason. So if you were going to vote for me, I would suggest that you just vote for Dan Mason instead." And so he drops out mid-vote, mid-swing. He drops out. He knew he got beat. And so what that did is that pushed all of his cronies into Dan Mason's pool, which put him over at the 50% one vote. So let's break this down. Ranked choice voting. The guy that got third place on the vote, and I like Dan, right? I'm not knocking him. I would love him to come on my show. We have some things that people are rumoring around. There's a lot of that in the Republican Party that I'm finding, a lot of just rumors. And so I'd like to clear the air, introduce him to the public, and have him on my show. So this is a formal invitation. I'm going to reach out to him later today because I want to talk to him. So anyways, Dan, he got third place in the first vote, and now he won based on this ranked choice voting type model. So that's kind of the skinny of how the vote went and what happened. Well, since then, Carrie McQuiston has been going crazy online and
really?
Just blowing things. Oh, dude, it is unbelievable. She's like a 15-year-old girl just screaming, you know, all these accusations, just attacking Don, But here's the thing, and this is kind of what it's about. I don't like to get into this infighting stuff either. I think it's a huge distraction, right? But in accordance to our perspectives and a lot of other people in Oregon, Solomon Yu has played an integral part in a lot of the nasty infighting, kind of the distractions that have been going on. And we've kind of tied a lot of it back. You know, there's a lot of people that would agree with me. And that's just my opinion. And I'm seeing it because we're seeing all of the backlash. And one of them, you know, Joel Pawlowski from Marion County is a huge Solomon Yu advocate. Doesn't know why he supports Solomon. He just says that he's a good man and we need him. Solomon went on and said, you know, we need, I'm going to be the one, if you vote for me as National Committee Man of Oregon, I'm going to be the one that gets Trump in office. And it's like, okay, dude, hey, I get it. We get it. But
you got to wrap up. We've got about a minute.
Okay. So anyways, there's just a lot of infighting and a lot of backlash going on. The reality is Don Power should have won. We got to get rid of that ranked choice voting infrastructure. It's not helpful for the party. It's not the number one guy. Usually we want to go with the winners. And clearly he won. And so now we have a third place guy and national committee man, Dan Mason, which is fine. But I don't think that that's right. I don't think that's justice for Oregon. But I do want to extend that olive branch, and that's kind of the skinny of what happened.
Josh, thanks for sharing that. You know, we'll no doubt have to have these conversations a little bit further. And I applaud you. And I've known Dan a long time. He is a nice guy. And frankly, I'd love to see him advance the cause for Oregon specifically back at the national level. And
needs to be the focus.
Yes, 100%. It does. And that's what both he and Tracy need to do.
But all in all, it's a win. We got new people in there, and so it's time to start fresh. It's time to get behind these people, and let's really make Oregon great.
Make Oregon great again. I like it. Josh, Michael, folks, his show is Noncompliant America. It's on Saturdays at 4 p.m. here on KSLM. Thanks, Josh. Friends, thanks for joining us today. There's a lot of other stuff going on out there we didn't get to today. Just be aware, we'll get at it tomorrow. Hope you will be good.